Welcome to Ask the Experts, a monthly podcast taking on the latest questions around healthcare legislation and compliance.
Hello, and welcome to our Ask the Experts podcast. Today's guest is Crystal Burtner, Senior Compliance Specialist. Welcome to the podcast, Crystal.
Thank you so much, Shelley. It's great to be here.
Crystal, my first question for you, can you provide guidance regarding an employer setting up a waiver allowance for employees who decline the group health coverage?
Employers can certainly do this if they choose to, but there are several considerations. Arrangements such as this should be included in the employer's Section 125 plan document, and they should also make sure that they're offering the credits to all employees so that they're not being discriminatory. Another thing to keep in mind is that under the FLSA, cash paid to an hourly employee could count toward the regular rate of pay, which is the basis for calculating overtime pay. Employers should consult with their attorney, CPA, or payroll advisor to determine that overtime pay is properly calculated. And then lastly, just keep in mind carrier participation requirements, as participation may be impacted by offering this type of arrangement.
Is it your recommendation that employers complete the Medicare Part D disclosure to CMS that is due by March 1st?
Employers are required to disclose to CMS within 60 days of the renewal date whether prescription drug coverage offered is creditable or non-creditable. For a calendar year plan, this would be March 1st. We do advise that groups complete this.
My next question, does creditability for prescription drug coverage include any kind of requirements for mail order, specifically specialty mail order?
CMS doesn't specifically spell out specialty drugs or mail order specialty drugs. If the prescription drug plan provides coverage for brand and generic prescriptions, as stated by CMS, then this part of the creditability requirement should be satisfied. There are some plans that only cover generic drugs, for example, so that's where an issue would come in regarding the creditability status.
We have an employer group located in California that has a dependent who's aged off the plan. Are they eligible for CalCOBRA after federal COBRA has been exhausted?
CalCOBRA has two parts to it. The first is that it provides COBRA-like coverage for groups with 2 to 19 employees. The second is that CalCOBRA provides an extension of federal COBRA for groups over 20 in the fully insured group market. Assuming the group is fully insured, they are subject to CalCOBRA, but whether a specific individual is eligible or not depends on how long that individual had or was eligible for federal COBRA. An individual that's eligible for 36 months of federal COBRA is not eligible for the CalCOBRA extension. When a dependent ages out, they are eligible for 36 months of federal COBRA, which makes them ineligible for CalCOBRA.
We have an employee who is on leave of absence, which is most likely an FMLA leave of absence. Are they able to enroll in the medical coverage during open enrollment, or would COBRA apply?
Assuming FMLA applies to this employer, yes. If the employee is eligible for and own an FMLA leave of absence, they have the same enrollment rights as employees that are actively at work. COBRA would not apply unless the coverage has been canceled due to non-payment or FMLA and any other applicable leave has been fully exhausted. Before coverage can be canceled due to non-payment, the employee must be more than 30 days late and notice must be given to the employee at least 15 days before terminating the coverage.
We have an employee who has recently left the company, and we have already contributed $2,000 toward their HSA for the year as we do a lump sum contribution at the beginning of the year. Do we have any way of recovering those funds?
The HSA is an individual bank account that is owned by that individual. Any contributions to that account, including employer contributions, belong to the employee. Assuming that there was no error in making the contribution, that $2,000 legally belongs to the employee.
At what point do we have to start complying with FMLA?
For private sector employers, FMLA applies once you have 50 or more employees within a 75-mile radius for at least 20 work weeks in either the current or prior calendar year. If and when that is met, you would then need to start complying with FMLA.
And can you also tell us, are all employees eligible for FMLA?
First, the employee must have worked there for at least 12 months, and the employee must have also had at least 1,250 hours of service during that 12-month period in order to qualify for FMLA.
Thank you, Crystal. We hope you found this podcast helpful and informative. If you have any questions, please contact your account manager or salesperson. This podcast is designed to highlight various employee benefit matters of general interest to our listeners. It is not intended to interpret laws or regulations or to address specific client situations. You should not act or rely on any information contained herein without seeking the advice of an attorney or tax professional. Thank you.